Hello everyone, welcome to another midweek J-Talk Extra Time special. I'm John Steele. My regular co-host Stuart is taking care of the J3 wrap-up for the midweek round this week. So I'll try and guide you through what happened in J2 as best I can. So there were 11 matches on Wednesday night, round 8 of the J2 season. We'll start by talking about Nagasaki. They stay 4 points clear at the top of the table after a third straight win, and they're still unbeaten this season. They won 2-1 away at Yamaguchi. No Luan or Ibarbo in the Nagasaki squad for this game, but the job was done nevertheless. Nagasaki took the lead in the 5th minute. Yuhei Tokunaga powerfully heading home a corner from Akeiji Tamada. Now, the rest of the first half turned into a personal duel between the Yamaguchi attacker Kazuma Takai and Nagasaki goalkeeper Kenta Tokushige, with the keeper making 3 good saves to keep Takai at bay. Yamaguchi's job got even harder in the 70th minute. Their Brazilian forward Yuri picked up a 2nd yellow card and was sent off. Before leaving the field, Yuri also squared up to the referee, which is a bit naughty. Maybe there'll be some extra punishment coming his way as a result. We wait to see. The 10-man of Yamaguchi equalised in the 79th minute, though, through their 16-year-old substitute Kota Kawano. He played a nice 1-2 with Takahiro Ko and finished beautifully to become the youngest ever J2 scorer, as far as we know. 16 years, 11 months and 17 days. Does make you wonder if my time's ever gonna come, but never mind. So it was 1-1 going into the final stretches of this game, but like all good teams, Nagasaki found a winner just 3 minutes later. Shunya Yoneda firing a low shot in off the post from a tight angle out on the right. So another win for Nagasaki, and yes, as I mentioned, 4 points clear at the top after 8 games. It's Omiya Ardija in 2nd place still. They're 4 points behind Nagasaki, but now also 4 points clear of 3rd place. A fine free kick in the 7th minute from Hijiri Onaga proved to be the winner in their match. They won 1-0 on the road at Kanazawa. Kanazawa might be wondering how they failed to score in the second half here, though. Yuji Sakuda had a chance blocked on the Omiya goal line by Kohei Yamakoshi. The visiting goalkeeper Filip Klaic made some really good saves, and the goal scorer Onaga made a smart block on the line before Sakuda rattled the post with a header. So Omiya riding their luck at times in this one. But Omiya had plenty of the youth team graduates in their squad for this game. I think 5 or 6, maybe even as many as 7 players had come through their youth system, which is nice to see. J2 often has quite a few senior citizens doing the business, so that was good. Yes, another win for Omiya. Yes, 2nd place for them. Now in 3rd place we have Avispa Fukuoka. They took sole ownership of 3rd position. They're on 14 points. This is despite failing to beat Ehime at home. So Fukuoka's home game with Ehime finishing 1-1. Now Ehime gave a really good account of themselves here. They stunned their host by taking the lead with just 13 minutes left. Yoichi Naganuma fed Takuma Kawamura, and he beat Cervantes with a pretty well-struck left-footed strike from the edge of the penalty area. Fukuoka were level 5 minutes later, though. Their young substitute Kennedy Ebisu-Mikuni heading home Emil Salomonsson's outswinging corner kick, and Mikuni had only come on 2 minutes earlier. I think that's his first goal for Fukuoka, first J-League goal. And yeah, we see quite a few of these outswinging corner kicks from Salomonsson. That's the feature of Fukuoka's play at the moment. Ehime supporters might wonder why there was no defender stationed inside the post to block that chance there. That could have preserved their lead. But yeah, it finished Fukuoka 1, Ehime 1. And that leaves Fukuoka very well, handily placed in 3rd. Now, from 4th place down, the league table starts to look a bit more complicated. We have 5 teams tied together on 13 points. Now, Kita Kyushu beat Tokushima Vortis 2-0 on Wednesday night, a result that moves Kita Kyushu into 5th place and drops Tokushima down to 4th, but as I mentioned, both on 13 points. Excellent performance from Kita Kyushu in this game. Akira Silvano Disaro made his first start of the season up front for them. He's been used as a sub in every other game so far. He scored a great header to put Kita Kyushu 1-0 up in the 7th minute here. And at the end of the first half, Naoki Tsubaki finished off a beautiful passing move that Tokushima themselves would have been proud of to make it 2-0. It's definitely worth checking the highlights for this game to see that goal from Tsubaki. The Kita Kyushu goalkeeper, Kengo Nagai, made a smart triple save before the break to preserve that 2-0 lead. And speaking of goalkeepers, Tokushima had to replace their goalkeeper Toru Hasegawa with Naoto Kami Fukumoto midway through the second half due to an injury. You might remember Kami Fukumoto got injured a few rounds ago colliding with a goalpost, so Tokushima not having much luck with their goalkeepers so far this season. And I noticed Kita Kyushu, that's four clean sheets in a row at home for them, three wins and a draw from those matches. So they're starting to turn the Mikuni World Stadium into a bit of a fortress, it seems. Niigata are the side in sixth place at the moment. They had to come from behind to earn a point away at Tokyo Verdy in midweek. Fabio and Silvino started on the bench for Niigata for this game, but both came on in the 55th minute. And that Brazilian pair combined neatly to almost put the visitors in front. Fabio's effort was well saved by the Verdy goalkeeper, another Brazilian, Mateus, and Silvino's shot on the rebound was blocked out for a corner. It was actually Verdy who took the lead in this game with just 11 minutes left. Shohei Takahashi heading in Yuhei Sato's corner kick, and it looked like the hosts were going to take all 3 points until the third minute of stoppage time in the second half. The goalkeeper Mateus came off his line to punch a long throw, but miscommunication of the horrible variety led to a defender heading the ball up into the penalty area rather than away, and Areta Watanabe was on hand to rifle the ball home for his fourth goal of the season and save a point for Niigata from that game. The team in 7th place is a bit of a surprise. It's Machida Zelvia. They had a very impressive 2-0 win on the road away at Matsumoto Yamaga in midweek. Now, Machida had two big scares in the first half in this game. Firstly, a free kick from Matsumoto deflected off the wall and onto the post before going away to safety. And after that, Matsumoto were given a pretty soft penalty in the 27th minute. Now, two Itsukis, the Matsumoto forward Itsuki Enomoto and Machida defender Itsuki Oda, came together underneath a high ball. There was some contact, but it looked fairly innocuous, and the referee pointed to the spot. But Machida's goalkeeper, Yota Akimoto, brilliantly saved Yuto Suzuki's spot kick and then blocked another shot on the rebound. So the 0-0, the goalless state of the game continued. Now, Machida then went in front. Oda actually popped up at the other end of the pitch, heading home Kane Yoshio's corner in the 37th minute. It could have been 2-0 even before half-time, Mizuki Ando heading against the post. Now, Machida sealed a great win with just 3 minutes left. Their substitute forward, Stefan, collected a missed pass from Matsumoto's backline, and coolly, first time, chipped the ball over Matsumoto's goalkeeper, Kentaro Kakui, from about 25 yards. Stefan's first J-League goal, and a very well-taken one. So yeah, really impressive win for Machida. And after this game, it was announced that from Shimizu S-Pulse, defender Eric Noriega has joined Machida on loan to bolster their ranks. So all good news coming out of Machida this week. Kofu were the last team in the group of teams with 13 points. They drew 2-2 in a very exciting game away at Mito Hollyhock on Wednesday. No Dudu in the Kofu squad for this game, and Mike Havanar started up front. This one came to life midway through the first half. Shusuke Ota's speculative shot was fumbled into the net by the Mito goalkeeper Ayumi Niyakawa. Pretty horrible goalkeeping to give Kofu the lead. But the home side were level just 3 minutes later. The impressive as usual Kai Matsuzaki crossed, and who else but Halef Pitbull doing a good interpretation, good impersonation, of Jefferson Baiano at the moment for Mito heading home. Now, parity lasted less than 60 seconds. Ryotaro Nakamura sent Riki Matsuda clean through to restore Kofu's lead at 2-1. Now, it should have been 2-2 at half-time, though, but Yushi Yamaya missed the target from another swirling and impressive Matsuzaki cross. Into the second half, Nduka Boniface thought he'd levelled for Mito with 30 minutes left, but his goal was ruled out for offside. It looked like the wrong decision initially. I think there was a Mito player offside, but not Boniface. The goal should have stood, but it was ruled out. However, Mito did get their equaliser finally in the 91st minute. Two of their half-time substitutes combining, Ryo Toyama setting up Kazuma Yamaguchi to make it 2-2. So pretty exciting stuff. Now we have Kyoto Sanga in ninth place at the moment on 12 points. They drew 1-1 away at Fajiano Okayama. Kyoto were another one of the teams to shuffle their pack in terms of starting members for this game. Peter Utaka, Takumi Miyoshi were on the bench, leaving Ryunosuke Noda as a lone striker to start. Quite heavy rain at City Light Stadium for this one as well, it should be said. In the rain, Okayama's goalkeeper, William Pope, had to make a very smart save with his feet as early as the first minute. And the home side were in front in the 20th, with Lee Yong-jae going clean through and making no mistake to give Okayama the lead. Pope again made a really smart double save at the start of the second half to preserve that lead, but it was 1-1 in the 49th minute. Jun Ando powering home a header from Yosuke Ishibitsu's corner. For all his heroics earlier on, Pope might be disappointed he didn't keep that one out. He was able to get a good hand to it, but couldn't prevent it from crossing the line. And the Okayama substitute Shintaro Shimizu could have won it for Okayama with 5 minutes left, but unfortunately shot straight at Kyoto's goalkeeper Tomoya Wakahara. In the other Wednesday night games, there was another pretty exciting encounter down in Naha, with Ryukyu hosting Iwata. This game finished 2-2, leaving Ryukyu still winless, but they had a lot of positives to take from this game, I feel. They used a 4-1-4-1 formation, which I think is a little bit different from what they've tried in other games this season. And for Iwata, Koki Ogawa and Lukian were both on the bench. Seiya Nakano started up front as part of their squad rotation. But Ryukyu hit the front in the 14th minute with Ren Ikeda finishing off a very slick passing move. It could have been 2-0 just before half-time. The Ryukyu centre-back Daisuke Suzuki hitting the crossbar following a corner. And Ryukyu were left to rue that miss. Iwata levelled in the 54th minute with Kotaro Omori crossing for Nakano to kind of guide home a flicked finish. And then the Ryukyu goalkeeper Danny Carvajal, possibly celebrating signing his new contract, which I think keeps him at Ryukyu for another two seasons, made a great save from Masaya Matsumoto to keep it 1-1. Ryukyu thought they'd won it with 10 minutes left. Keigo Numata's inch-perfect cross was headed home by Shinya Uehara. But Iwata came back again, and the substitute Lukian somehow hooked the ball into the net from a corner from his fourth goal of the season in the 86th minute. I think even the commentators weren't sure if it had gone in or not initially, but it had, and it finished 2-2. That's a draw that leaves Iwata in 10th and keeps Ryukyu second bottom of the table going into the weekend games. Elsewhere, there was a first derby between Gunma and Tochigi for five seasons, and Tochigi emerged victorious in this game, winning 1-0 at Shoda Stadium. Gunma made four changes to their starting lineup for this one, and Tochigi made seven from the previous game, including their goalkeeper Hitoshi Shiota, who got injured midway through their previous game. He's out for at least a couple of months, I think, with that injury, and he's been an important player for them so far. Now, Ryohei Hayashi had an early chance for Gunma in this game, but Tochigi's standing goalkeeper, Shuhei Kawata, made a good save to block him. And Tochigi took the lead in the 24th minute, an absolutely brilliant shot from Junya Osaki from outside the box, which is worth checking out in the highlights. Hayashi went close again for Gunma with an off-target header just before half-time, but Tochigi were still in front at the break. Now, fog descended in the second half, and that was played with an orange ball, which is always pretty exciting. If like me, you're a gentleman of a certain age, it's pretty cool to see the orange ball coming out. But there wasn't much action to talk about on the pitch in the second period. Mainly, the talking point came midway through the half. Sergio Escudero, Tochigi forward, was shown a straight red card for a pretty stupid tackle close to the halfway line. I'm not really sure what a player of his experience is doing tackling at all. Certainly not that aggressively in such a non-threatening area of the pitch. But anyway, he was shown a straight red card and had to go. But Tochigi clung on fairly comfortably and got their third win of the season. I think they're doing better than certainly I expected before the season kicked off for Gunma. They stay bottom, and let's be honest, in big trouble. The only other game that we haven't talked about so far was up in Yamagata hosting Jeff Chiba. I'm talking about this game last because it was the only goalless game on the card, and there wasn't a great deal of action to report either. I think we could say that Hirotaka Tameda, Taishi Taguchi had decent chances for Jeff in this one, but that's pretty much it. Now, that draw leaves Yamagata down in 19th place, which doesn't sound very impressive, but I notice from the 8 games so far, they've drawn 5, So perhaps it's not yet time to press the panic button. I think if they could have grabbed a winner in a couple of those drawn games, perhaps even, you know, the game against Chiba on Wednesday, that they'd be obviously be a bit higher up the table. So not time to press the panic button in Yamagata just yet. Okay, so I think that brings us up to date with the pretty exciting midweek round. Before I sign off, I'll just talk a little bit about the games coming up at the weekend. So round 9 is taking place over this weekend. Just one game on Saturday, August the 1st. That's Okayama hosting Ryukyu. Okay, all the other games being played on Sunday, August the 2nd. A couple of interesting ones that stick out. Tochigi hosting Niigata. Kofu hosting Yamaguchi. Matsumoto hosting Kita Kyushu, and the league leaders Nagasaki welcome Tokyo Verdy to Transcosmos Stadium. Obviously, Nagasaki 4 points clear at the top, hoping to maintain or even extend that lead. Kyoto take on Machida. Mito host Kanazawa, and I think the there's no getting away from the match of the weekend. It's Omiya hosting Fukuoka at NAC 5 Stadium, second place versus third place. And for me, the interesting subplot would be the return of Juanma, Spanish forward, to NAC 5. Obviously, he left Omiya to join Fukuoka in the last winter transfer window. He's known for being quite volatile. It'll be interesting to see if there's any sign of that in this game. But of course, both teams will be focused on getting a good result to help them out at the top of the table. Elsewhere, Jeff Chiba are hosting Gunma. Tokushima host Yamagata. And Ehime are taking on Iwata to round off the slate. So, a couple of really interesting games coming up, it seems, at the weekend as well. Okay, but I think I'll sign off. Hopefully, it wasn't too painful to listen to me flying solo for about 15 minutes. And I'd like to say again, thanks as always for listening. Thanks especially to the Patreons who keep the servers running, keep the lights on for us here at JTalk Extra Time. But I think I should be back with Stuart next week for a proper kind of roundup of the weekend games. But just because there's so many games in midweek at the moment, we decided again to split, and I looked after the J2 games, he took care of J3. But normal service resumed for a regular Extra Time pod next week with Stuart, I think. Okay, guys, enjoy the weekend as much as possible. Enjoy the football, and we'll speak to you again soon. Okay, bye for now.